Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on WebTalkRadio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. Thanks for joining us today. So every week as you listen to the show, I really, really hope that between my guests and I, that we provide some wonderful content, but also maybe some ideas of how you can create change in your life and whatever change that means to you. For me, it's always, can I help you with your business, grow your client base, right? And be that heart-centered person or business owner or career person. So however I can help, however my guests can help, we're here for you. Now, if you're loving the show, which I really hope you do, please go to either Apple Podcasts or however you stream, subscribe, rate, and write a brief review. I feel the love and I always appreciate it. So my motivational quote today is by Louis L'Amour, and he says, "Start writing no matter what. The water does not flow until the faucet is turned on." So do you remember when you were a kid or a teenager, or maybe even currently reading a book or watching a movie, and all of a sudden you go into that daydreaming kind of vibe and start thinking maybe of yourself in that movie or in that story or in that book, and you as the heroine? Were you able to reimagine that story and maybe create in your mind that whole new amazing world that's filled with adventure for you or for your heroine? Well, I hope that gets your creative juices flowing, because today my guest is Cecilia Carelsa. Thank you. Now, Cecilia is an Irish science fiction writer and author of The Alien Eve, with a background in engineering and photography. Definitely uses both sides of her brain. She loves adventure, hill walking on the mountains of County Waterford, enjoying every step in typical Irish weather of four seasons in a day, including sun, clouds, storms, and fog. So please help me welcome Cecilia to the show. So thanks for being on, Cecilia.
Oh, thanks, Connie. Yeah, no, great to be here. Thanks very much.
So the first time Cecilia and I spoke, I said, "What are the four seasons as you walk in Ireland?" And that's when she said, "Oh, it's sun, cloud, storm, and fog all in the same day." So I love...
Oh my gosh, it could be absolutely anything. I mean, if you look and you go out and it is lovely and sunny. And as I was just saying to you before we started, I mean, we're in a level five lockdown. The last time I got out was Christmas Eve. I managed to get out for a lovely walk. It was glorious weather. Got the top of... it's not really a hill, a mountain, because it's a hill, because it's 5 meters short of what it should be. And it was just... beautiful, you know. Oh, I can't wait to get out again.
Yeah, we're saying that the vaccines are here, so we're getting into that freedom mode again. Sure.
So
thank you for being on, and we're going to talk about writing. And I think a lot of people, Cecilia, think, oh, I can't write a book. And that's the furthest thing from the truth, right? Everybody has a book in them. So first start with, what's your writing background? And then, you know, I think sometimes when people hear a story about a writer, they're like, oh, I do that too. So why don't we start with that?
Yeah, well, I suppose my story, it's kind of very long, really, when I actually think about it and how long it's taken me to get to this stage. And I have one book self-published about 5 years ago, but it's a long journey, and perhaps it's just, this is my journey. Some people could write a book in a few months and perhaps get it published and boom, be done. And they're those wonderful exceptions that you hear about a lot. But perhaps for other people, they've tinkered with writing, you know, over the years, and they've tried a bit. And then, you know, again, it's a confidence thing, going back to, can I do this? Am I good enough? Have I studied enough? Do I need an MFA? Do I need to study this? Do I need to do this? Do I need to join a group? And you get, it's, yeah, I think when I think back, yeah, I've taken a long time. I think I would have started probably 10, 15 years ago thinking, oh, perhaps I might like to write something. I wrote something, perhaps, I think it was about a page long, not much. And then I think in 2010, joined a writer's group, did a sort of a 10-week creative writing course, thought, oh yeah, this is starting to whet my, you know, my thing, and started the first novel, which, by the way, is sitting aside because I've revised that so many times and I still know it's not right. So the novel I actually eventually did publish was the second novel I wrote, which I started in 2012 and eventually got that self-published in 2015. And then started writing in the meantime, did a first draft for a third novel, drift first draft for a fourth novel, started, okay, try to find time to start revising these wonderful first drafts. And then I was hit by a bit of writer's block. And it was around about the time, for about 3.5 years, when my father was very ill and eventually died. So I think it's amazing. Yes, stress does not help writing at all in any strip. And grief doesn't help writing either.
Of course.
So there's all these life circumstances that stop and start you, might stop and start you writing. But you've always got this niggling thing in the back of my head. What makes me happy? I love writing. I love this imagining. And it. So eventually, yeah, I'm back writing again in 2019. I put the nail and sand around about the middle of the year, and it went forward again for the NaNoWriMo. So that's the National Novel Writing Month that happens every November. And I think that's a great way to just get into, if you are thinking of doing novel. Now, novels are for the long haul, as I was kind of told them, because they can be for the long haul. Mine have been for the long haul, definitely. Each one is its own little baby beast that needs pulling and poking and prodding and pushing forward and forward and, you know, yeah, attacking. But I don't want to make it sound really, really difficult, because the key thing really with any novel, and I encourage anybody, if you ever think about writing a novel, just write it, okay? Because here's the thing about it. Your voice is completely unique. Nobody else will write like you. Nobody else will sound like you on the page. Nobody will tell the story like you. You can give the same prompt, something simple like a roll of toilet paper, to a group of 10 people in a writing group, and each person will come at a completely different aspect that you know what I mean? Where does that take you to?
I love
you know, we've had really weird prompts like a mushroom or a 50 cent piece, and you can imagine that some people produce rhyming poetry, some people produce prose. I produced something that was set in the future, I think, at the time. So that's what our writing group is like, this prompt, and it's just this writing the first draft is freeing, right? Because number one, you've got to say to yourself, I don't want to edit this. You're not editing it at all. You are just freely putting the words on the page. And that's why I love NaNoWriMo, because you're forced and constrained to write 50,000 words within 30 days and just get going.
Yep.
So,
and I'm going to stop you, because I think you just said so many wonderful nuggets of information. And I think that anyone that is listening, if you really are thinking, I have this book in me, I have this need, I have this great idea, and you're like, life. Listen, you know what Cecilia just shared? Her dad passing, by the way, I'm so sorry to hear that, Cecilia. Life takes over, right? COVID took over last year. Mm-hmm. So everybody reacts to stress differently.
Yeah.
That's okay if you start and you stop and you start and you stop. It for me, I think, Cecilia, and I think based on what you said, it's not about getting it done, getting it to the finish line. It's about that whole journey, because when you're truly ready to put it out there for the world to see, and you've reiterated it several times, when it really is ready to be out there, that's when it should be out there, not prior to that. So don't let life get in the way. Forge forward, whatever that means for you. And I love how you said you joined the writing group, and they have that month where 30 days, 50,000 words, boom. And it's not about editing, right? It's about just getting the words out of your head, getting them onto the paper. And then where do you want to take it from there? And I think that's amazing. And I also want to comment, Cecilia, I love you said you'd give somebody a roll of toilet paper or give them a 50 cent piece or whatever it is. And everyone in that room will approach it from a different angle, and that your voice is your voice. It's unique and wonderful. So don't be afraid of, and Cecilia, you started with, am I good enough? Can I do this? What if I can't? What if? Instead of going from that place of, my voice is unique. What can I create? Who might be intrigued and inspired by it, right? So what a different way of approaching writing. So you said so many wonderful things just right in that intro. And I just want to make sure everybody's hearing it, because again, when you speak, people are going to hear different things that are going to be triggers of inspiration for them. So I like to find those little nuggets and kind of pull them out and reiterate them. Next question, because your background is really kind of fascinating on where your ideas come from. So share that with everyone.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So I think I traveled a lot. as a kid because I was born in the UK. And when I was about five, we moved to Sudan. And we lived there for about 4.5 years. So that's in primary school or elementary or junior school. I don't know what it yet is in the equivalent in America. But so about 5 years old to about nine and a half. And because we didn't have a television, the one thing that we lived for was going to the cinema, reading any little books we could get our hands on. We then moved to Nigeria, and the same thing as well. If we could borrow books from friends or school libraries or anything like that, we would get our hands on that and read them because, you need to just, there was nothing else to build your imagination. But when I was a teenager, we were in Zimbabwe, and we used to go to the drive-in cinema sometimes up to twice a week because my dad would go to the Friday night shot, and then the Saturday night we might go to the cinema again. And my dad did like science fiction things, and I think science fiction, what I loved about it is just it's all about imagination. It's like, I suppose it takes you out of your current world, because I know we can write stories in our current world, but then we are constrained by what society says, perhaps how a woman should behave or do or be. And then science fiction, if you wrote something in the future, it means you can then, well, she pretty much can do what she likes and she can be who she likes. And yeah, that's where the science fiction bit came in. And I think, as a child, I daydreamed a lot. As an adult, I would do the same sort of daydreaming process when, you know, try and put yourself in a relaxed state before you start writing a first draft. And it is a lot of daydream. And I think sometimes we do that. I mean, I remember in secondary school, literally borrowing a book every day from the library. So I go home, read the book, because there's not much telly. So school finishes around about 1 o'clock. Now it starts at 7:30 in the morning, but that's a different story. But that's because, you know, well, it's just handier. And you finished at 1 o'clock, unless you had sports in the afternoon, in which case you'd stay back a couple of afternoons during the week. And then you'd have your homework done and nothing else to do for the rest of the evening. So read a whole book, next day back in the library, bring it back. So unfortunately, I would say, I was actually thinking about the type of books I was reading at the time, and it was a lot of Mills and Boone, so, and a lot of romance stuff. But then that's what was available. Shelves of it in the school library. Went through them all. But again, it's all that imagination of like, oh my God, I wish I was the person in this story, you know, out there doing this, having that adventure.
Yeah.
And that's where I suppose the nuggets of ideas come from. Like,
I love what you said, because I think as adults, we're afraid to daydream. When you're a child, we daydream so freely, innocently. Yeah. There's no barriers. There's no self-judgment, right? There's nothing holding us back because it's your imagination, right? That's where kids thrive and come from, right? They tell stories and you think that was a really good story, that because there's no limits that they put on themselves. And then as we age, I think we put those boundaries. So you being in that situation without a television, you know, as a child, that you turned to the books. But it's the same thing. Right now we have movies and Netflix and so many shows on TV that, again, it doesn't matter where your inspiration comes from. It's just I think we have to allow ourselves to daydream. And that's where, even as a business owner, when I step back and I stop getting focused on that email or creating that content or whatever it is, and you just kind of sit back and meditate and allow your mind to go into the daydream mode, that's where the ideas and the downloads come from. And we limit ourselves as adults, which is sad. You know, it's kind of sad. Mm. What have you learned, you know, writing these novels, doing that daydreaming, having that background as a child, also traveling extensive, it gives you a lot of flavor of different cultures and stuff like that. And I think probably different perspectives on life, right? On different things we do in life.
Yeah. Okay. There's different perspective, but then there's also, because I've traveled so much and I'm never been sort of part of except for being in Ireland for such a long time, almost 30 years, never been really close to my original families. So the original family in Italy, the original family in France, even though we did visit them quite often, the original families in South Africa, where my parents originally came from. And even in England, the only family we had there then was my grandmother, who eventually moved to Zimbabwe, where she died. So it's never, so I suppose in a way I was kind of looking at most people that I don't totally identify with a particular culture in a way, because I'm a mix of cultures.
You really are.
We do. We have French food. We have Italian food. We have curries. We South African foods. Oh, love boerewors. You know, so if anybody knows the word, that's a South African sausage. There's just so much stuff. And I love basic Irish cooking, like good Irish stew, lamb stew. I've got bacon joint baked in the oven, cabbage and potatoes and mashed potatoes and stuff like that. So, like, has it flavoured? I know there's that saying that says, write what you know. Mm-hmm. But in truth, like, there's also just write what's in your imagination, because really I think if people wrote in, we really wouldn't have had so many of the books that we do have. Yeah. you know in the world, and you definitely wouldn't have science fiction if people wrote with you, because nobody knows. You're just extrapolating a science theory and thinking, ooh, but what if it got this much better in the future. So,
it's interesting how you use, but you use your real life and all of that travel and the food. See, again, all of that diversity in how you grew up and what you learned and the cultures that you were able to see. It's fascinating because you're able to bring them in the science fiction world, but there's a little bit of truth in everything that we write based on our experience. And then you have the imagination on top of that, which I just love. Yeah. So how, because you are an author. I mean, you were born to be an author. That's, you know, your desire to read so many books, no matter what the prompt was that you didn't have a television, you still love to read. How do you deal with imposter syndrome? That, you know, I'm not good enough, or who's going to read my stuff? That kind of thing.
Oh my gosh. It's something I think you worry about all the time. I think as a writer, you've always had that thought, well, I'm not at that stage, or I'm not published with a big publisher, therefore I'm not a real author. And then I kind of go, hang on a second. You've drafted 6 novels. Yes, they're all in various different stages. You know, one that's in its 3rd draft now because I got it back from the editor and I'm working on those edits. One that's in the 2nd draft. I've done the structural edit for it. 1 and 2 more that have to just complete the 1st drafts, as well as my very, very first novel, which, God bless its little heart, I'm going to have to rewrite that whole thing again. Possibly. No, because what happened with the first novel, and I think I figured out why I was trying to mix science fiction, so that's all an extrapolation of, say, science and going, yeah, this is the possibility science-wise. And then you have fantasy, which is like the magic did it. You know what I mean? There's magic in everything.
Of course.
So what happened in the first novel is one of my characters has the ability to see the future. Right, that's not science fiction. So I was mixing hardcore science fiction with fantasy. And I think in my mind, I was like, this is not working. I can't do it. So look, I'm going to figure it out, perhaps give her some sort of nanotechnology or brain chip that gives her this information that helps her solve things. But we'll figure it out. So that one we're going to leave to the side. But yes, I think I've gone off on a track there.
That's okay. So the imposter syndrome that you kind of do that self-talk of, wait a minute, you have all of these books. You are published. You have several in production stage that I'm meant to write, right? So
I think it's a comparison thing as well. It's because we want to keep comparison. So, but you've got to remember that even if you're a starting novelist, there's somebody who hasn't started. You know what
it's
I mean?
True.
And you're always on your own journey.
That's true.
And I think that's what I have to keep reminding myself. This is my journey. This is where I'm at. I will have another finished novel. Then I will have another one that's going to be finished. Then I will work on that one. And then I'll work on that one. Then I'll do another draft. And I'll keep going. Because this is how I've decided this is what I have to do. I just have to write the next one and find out that story, be there on the journey, the adventure.
And here's the thing, Cecilia, that's what works for you. So you're throwing out so many wonderful ideas, and everybody has to find their journey if you really have that desire to write the book. Now, it's funny because I had written my book. I'm more technical because my background is sales. That's what I know. And my process, I knew if I could get it into a real short book, easy peasy read that people could read and go, oh, I could do that, right? And then go and execute whatever that thing is that I know would work to help you with your sales process. So I had written the book when my kids were little, and it's exactly what you said, that, you know, their demands with school and homework, kids, running a business, you know, their sports that, of driving them, you know, with hockey and everything. So the book, it was there, first draft, put it on the shelf, walk away. And then right before COVID hit, my kids are now, my one is done with college, my one is in college. And it was like, wait a minute, I have that book. I want to bring it forward again. And that was the opportunity in 2019. And then COVID hit, bam, I could focus on it because I wasn't running around. The kids weren't running around. Nobody needed my help. And that was the opportunity for me to bring my book forward. So everybody, it doesn't matter if you stop and start. You hear what Cecilia's saying. It's that idea of what is your voice and what does it need to say. And I do believe everybody has a book, a novel, a whatever, a story that they need to tell. And it could be their experience with work. It doesn't have to be fantasy, right? Your genre is just fantasy and science fiction. So before, and I want to comment again, because I kind of just touched on it, but you said everybody has their own voice, right? Like the toilet paper and the 50-cent piece. What, talk to us and explain, what is the writer's voice? So people think that's my voice, that they can kind of make it tangible for them.
Okay. So the writer's voice, you don't realize you have a writing voice when you first start writing. And I think sometimes, and you don't always realize it, because we're always comparing ourselves to other people, and we always reread these amazing writers who have been through their editors. The editors have pulled the best out of their possible work, and that's how that novel got published. And it was still the best of the best of what was in the pile that approached that, that publishing house. So your writing voice comes back down to, it's just the way you will express things, the way you will lay your words out in a sentence, the way you will describe things, the way you see the world, the senses that you're going to call into when you describe a scene, sight, sound, smell, how things taste. What was really fascinating, I was heard this this writer read her work at a recent science fiction convention there just before Christmas, I think it was. And she used so much smells in it. But then she explained at the end when she was talking about it, she says that I actually have this ability where I actually, smell is my predominant sense. And that's how she brought it into her work. And I was like, God, you'd never read a story where the main protagonist, it can tell you what somebody smells like. And by their smells, you're getting this whole persona of that person. It's incredible. But look, going back to when you're in a writing group, so if you do get a chance to join a writing group, I do recommend it. And a good writing group, if you don't feel supported, move on. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
A good writing group supports you, encourages you. When you're feeling stronger as a writer, go for a critique group. But again, the critique has to be useful. And remember, you are the final decision maker on when you receive critique. Can I use that? Can I not? Because you know your story. So back to writing voice. In a creative writing group, you'll hear that. And once you start realizing, you realize that, hang on, I don't sound like the others because that's my voice. I've interpreted this, and it's not wrong. Nothing ever is wrong. It's just how you've interpreted the piece or interpreted the writing prompt or how you've written the story, or how you've written the novel. It's your voice. Now your voice can be modified. So for instance, you could write in first person, third person. So you can modify it, but it is your unique style. And you can go on and imitate somebody else's style. And some writers can do that really well, where they can write in this character for an entire novel. And you're almost colloquialisms the whole way through. It's like, whoa, that is really sticking in the head of your character. And I suppose that is very, very, that's why it's incredible, actually, come to think of it.
So everybody has a different voice.
Everyone has a different voice, a different style. You'll actually see that even in nonfiction. Everyone's got a different style of writing, of laying out the novel, of laying out the nonfiction book, the way they do the chapters, the way they present the information. So it's the same thing's going to happen, even the way that you will decide on the length of a scene, decide on the length of a chapter, decide on the length of the book.
It's personal.
The way everything is personal. How you approach writing a paragraph, is it a big, huge, long tome of a paragraph, or is it short and succinct? Are you right in there, in the action, or is it there's a lot of narrative, you know? So that's your personality will come out in your writing.
And I think that's such an important piece of advice, mm-hmm. because you can't be someone else in life. You can't
so
be
unique.
That's
you're
exactly
unique.
Be
this is
you're right be unique. Unique. I love it. And in life, we try to, oh, I want to be like them. No, be like you. It's so funny. And you said everybody has their voice. And I giggle when I train, you know, when I teach clients. And that's how I met Cecilia. She was in a networking thing or giveaway. And you downloaded my template for your 30-second commercial because she said, I want to get out there more and I want to show my work. And I don't know how to succinctly explain what I do because she has... You just from this podcast, you hear the multiple layers of Cecilia. So like, how do you zero in on that? Right. And it's funny when I train Cecilia, I always say to people in the class, right, whatever topic I'm training, I'll say, you know what your superpower is, whatever it is that I see. And I say, leverage that. That's your zone of genius. So if you start from there and build out, you'll be more comfortable, but you'll also learn and grow faster because you're not trying to change what you're not good at. You're building on your natural strengths. And so people always say to me, how do you know that? And I giggle each time to see it. And I think, I don't know. I see it clearly. I meet people. And I can immediately see what their genius is, what is special about them. You call it a voice. I call it their superpower. So just sit back and observe yourself. Find your voice. Don't try to be like someone else. We're almost out of time, Cecilia. What would be for people that are like, I really want to write a book. What would you say or what advice would you give for new writers or people who are still on that fence of, do I put the pen to paper or do I keep thinking about it, right? And that's the procrastination piece. What advice would you give?
You have to do it. But you also find support in some way. Is that support coming from a particular blog, another writer? There's so much great stuff out there at the moment for writers, starting writers.
It's true.
Do you want to learn more about the craft of writing? Go and do something a bit on that. There's so much stuff now at the moment. I mean, there's writers who are putting up writing courses all the time. Yeah. I'm thinking of Jane Friedman, C.S. Lacken. There's so much writing stuff out there and some really good things. There's writing conferences. Just start, but get open up a Word document, get Scrivener, just get a notepad, get a pen. It doesn't have to be the best, but sometimes I do find that I do like certain pens and I do like certain notepads, but they're not fancy things. They just fold over, they're nice and flat, and I can turn over and write the next and keep going. So take your notes down. Even if the only thing you do at the moment is just jot your ideas down, get a pad, notepad, jot your ideas. I'd like to write this, I'd like to do that, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, present day, future, past, romance, whatever. Just think, I wonder if there was a story. Actually, the biggest one to do is what happens next.
Oh, I love
it. So start writing.
It's interesting.
So who is my character? What situation are they in? And describe it and then keep going. So what happens next? What's going to happen next? If you've even got a few ideas of where this is going to progress, you're already halfway there.
That's wonderful.
And you just what happens next. That's what I do when I'm doing the NaNoWriMo. So that's the National Novel Writing Month, which is in November, but they also have this thing called Camp NaNoWriMo in April and July. So it's again 30 days of, but with the Camp NaNoWriMo, you can set your target. So it could be 10,000, 20,000, whatever words, you know what I mean? And just get going. And it's lovely because you can chart your progress and everything and keep going. So that's coming up in April. So you've got a few weeks. Think about your story. Think about your character. Walk with your character. So if you're out having a walk or wherever you're getting around or daydreaming, imagine who they are. What do they say to you? Are they sitting next to you? Are they talking to you? And just you know what I mean? Invite your character in and start getting used, know them, know their situation and know what could happen to them. And I think that's, the hardest thing is the bit where you have to actually put them into really horrible situations. But that's a story. That's what we watch on the telly. That's what we watch in films it's and true. Movies and TV series. We go through the whole gamut of emotions that our characters are going to go through. And that's what makes a brilliant story is...
You're making me laugh. You know, when you watch these series and there's episode 1 through 7 or 1 through 13, and then the series is over, and I'll say to my husband, oh, our friends, we lost our friends now, because you get so immersed in the storyline, their journey, the character's journey. And there's probably an element where you see yourself as part of that journey, right? That you resonate with whatever their story is or whatever their triumph is at the end. But at the end, you feel like you've lost, like, I'm not going to see my friends anymore. So that's
I'm feeling that way at the moment because I'm watching, you know, Grace and Frankie.
Oh, I love that show.
They're going to have the last season is coming up soon. I'm like, when is it starting? When's it starting?
I know.
But I'm like, got it, because I know apparently it's going to be 60 seasons, episodes long, and that's it. So I'm just going to have to keep watching all the seasons again, but I just love it.
I love them. They're hysterical together. Lily Tomlin's a hoot. For anybody, it's on Netflix. Watch Frankie and Grace and Frankie. Grace is Jane Fonda and Frankie is Lily Tomlin. You laugh out loud through the show. And they, because the shenanigans, we've all done the shenanigans that they do. And it's just, you're right. That's such a great series. And yes, I'm so sad that that series is ending. So that's the idea, guys. I hope you get the vibe from Cecilia and my conversation today. What is your voice? Maybe just sit back. Sign up for a class on how to get started. Do some research. Do the April where you say, I'm going to write 10,000 words this month. Commit. And that's the other thing, Cecilia. I say when I coach, don't tell me you're going to try. What will you commit to, right? I'm going to try to lose weight, which last year I tried to lose weight and I gained, thank you, COVID. So this year I downloaded Noom, shout out to Noom, where you log your thing. They send you articles. It's all the psychology of why we eat, right? I've already lost a pound. I started it less than a week ago. So it's that trying to lose weight and committing to lose weight. It's the same thing. I'd love to be a writer. Sit down, start writing, commit to 10,000 words, commit to just fantasizing and jotting information down about your character. And I wanted to share something that you said. You write things down. I watched a podcast where Matthew McConaughey was he had just published a book, I think about a year ago. And I don't remember the name offhand. I do apologize, folks, or I would share it. But he said he always has a little notepad he keeps in his pocket. Mm-hmm. And he says he's at a dinner party and someone will just say something in the conversation and he'll think, wow, that was an interesting comment. And he writes it down and he'll say to his friends, I love that comment. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I'm writing it down. It's nothing bad. You know, I just want to percolate on that. I think I want to come back to it and see why that quote is resonating or sticking with me. And, you know, I'll share with you what I do with it, you know, that kind of friend. So his friends know that he does this, but he said anywhere he goes, he has that little notepad and he writes down a sentence that someone says because it triggers something in him. Like, you got to look at that closer. And he says, and that's where obviously he wrote the book. And he says, but that's where his creativity comes. You know, him as an actor, where does he get some of the juice I get to bring to that character? He said, oftentimes it's something I wrote down and then he could go back and reference it. So I like that idea, Cecily, of write it down and then go back and look at it, you know, because you never know where that one thread is going to add to the next thread, to the next thread. And ultimately, bam, there's your novel. So guys, if you'd like more information or you'd like to connect with Cecilia, I'm going to give you two pieces of information. Her website is Cecilia
Carelsa.
Why can't I say that? So it's C. Thank you for laughing at me. It's C E C I L I A C A R E L S E .com. I will post it in the show notes. No worries. Or you can email Cecilia at Cecilia. Say your last name again.
Carelse.
Carelse. And it's just like it sounds, C-A-R-E-L-S-E. And she's at yahoo.com. Again, I promise I will post that on the show notes. Also, if you need me, easiest way, just go to my website, WhitmanAssoce.com. Everything is there, guys. Easy peasy. The show, my free communication style assessment, my book, my masterclass, you name it. You want to get in contact with me, WhitmanAssoce.com. Check me out. Email me. I'd love to hear from my peeps out there. Cecilia, thank you so much for being on and for sharing little pieces of your journey and where that creativity and just do it, right? It's like the Nike commercial. Just do it.
Just do it. Just it's a journey. It. Let's enjoy this. Let's do it.
And have some fun along the way.
Exactly.
So thank you for sharing your story, for being on. And by the way, this is Cecilia's first podcast, so it was her maiden voyage. And I think you did an amazing job. So thank you for sharing your journey with my listeners. And I really do hope they pulled just some little pieces of nugget information that inspires them to put that pen to paper or typing or whatever it is. So thank you so much for sharing.
And no, you, thanks so much, Connie.
Oh, my pleasure. And I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together. Whatever change you're going through, my guests and I have your back, and hopefully we provide some content, ideas, and information, and hopefully inspiration to help you make that next one little step. That's what it's about, guys. Guys, motion creates a reaction, which creates results, but you have to start that step forward. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Cecilia, for joining us. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all a wonderful, inspired week. Go and write one sentence right now from your imagination. See where that takes you. Thanks, everybody.